We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Ken is way today. We're on from 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeartRadio app has John and Ken on demand, the podcast. Let's get right to it, because Steve always has lots of information. He's in Hawaii, and it's no fun there. And Lahaina, where the huge fire hit, and I don't know what the death toll is. This morning it was at 99, but there's various government officials trying to explain themselves for why this fire got so out of control and so many people died and so many homes were destroyed. Steve, how are you?
Hey, doing well, John. I got a lot of sound for you today.
All right, well, we got a lot of time, so let's go through it.
Let's go. So the latest, it is still at 99. That's the official body count thus far. But as of just a little bit ago, they did say that they were able to positively identify 4 of those 99, and they have collected 13 DNA profiles from some of the bodies that they have recovered. And they were able to also get 41 DNA samples from family members of those missing. So that's how they're actually having to match up those human remains with the family members to find out identification.
What a gruesome job.
I know. And they're asking family members to come down to a community center to file their DNA, basically, and so they have it there. So, but if someone shows up, that typically means they haven't heard from their loved one. And so that gives them some idea of how many people might be unaccounted for. But we also found out that there was at least one home that was housing 60 people affected by the wildfire, and those 60 people finally came down into a shelter. So those are 60 people that were initially unaccounted for, presumed dead, that are not. So they're hoping there's many more out there that have been staying with other people, relatives, friends, strangers, and then eventually will come down and get themselves sort of checked in and accounted for. But as you mentioned right at the top, a lot has been said about, you know, the cause of the fire, the conditions, and pointing the fingers, as people often do following these kinds of tragedies. But I want to go back to yesterday. There was a press conference with Governor Josh Green, and he and some others were there to give the latest information. But what I didn't count on was this following exchange and response from the governor when I wanted to know about media access. Leading up to this question, there were two reporters in the press conference that had asked the governor about issues having to do with mistrust. that people didn't trust FEMA. People didn't trust local authorities. So there had already been two questions asked about mistrust. Then I asked mine.
Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it. Steve Gregory, iHeartMedia, KFI Los Angeles. You know, people we've been talking to, the word mistrust, distrust has come up quite a bit in conversations we've had with locals. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that media are not allowed into areas, and there's no independent or objective reporting allowed because we're not allowed access. We're getting a sanitized version. We're getting a one-dimensional version of events. At what point is the media going to be allowed to start reporting what's really going on?
So how many media went with us in on Saturday? Could you see a raise of hands? So I'm sure there were many with
six
us.
Six
or eight. Because we had a media gaggle with us on Saturday. To suggest that we're not providing access is just simply inaccurate.
Well, we're being turned away.
Well, I'm glad you're being turned away in this case, because otherwise you'd be tromping on our dead neighbors. Now, you know, I'll answer the questions. You've done enough. That is what's happened. We've twice been in there. We've showed a great deal of pictures. There's footage. If you want to see the dust of those who have been lost, that's what you would see if you walk down there. Moreover, we do want to tell the stories, which is why we're here today. And we're happy to tell the stories, but a lot of the stories are very personal stories that people tell us in confidence, because they don't know yet themselves what they've lost. So feeding your desire to tell a story, you in particular in this moment, is not my goal. My goal is to make sure people are protected, my people are protected from the additional trauma. The stories can be told over the many months. Your desire to tell it here on day five, when people are beginning to go through the worst psychological traumas of their lives, is simply ugly.
Well, wow. There you go.
You're the problem.
I'm the problem.
You're the problem. You were tromping on dead bodies. You wanted to view the dust of the victims, and you're ugly.
Yeah. So
I've never heard a governor react like that to a reporter.
What do you think? What do you take from that?
We usually, when a politician gets very defensive, because we were running a clip of Gascon, who had a similar attitude over the smash and grab robberies at a press conference yesterday, it means he knows a lot went wrong, and there's a certain amount of guilt, and a certain amount of, you know, when somebody's defensive, it means they're trying to protect themselves, they're trying to cover something. I'm guessing he knows that this was handled very badly by the government. And the longer you can string out the story, the less people are going to care. Right. Is that anything like what you're thinking?
Well, yeah. And the thing is that if you listen to the question the way I asked the question, I didn't tell him he was screwing up, and I didn't tell him the people that I didn't trust him. I told him that's what people were telling me. So I'm trying to get answers for people that are asking me the questions. And so for him to go like that, and, you know, we've been doing this a long time. It was classic, you know, defensive mode and upset. But here's the really interesting thing. So I thought we were done with this. I thought this was over. I had a lot of colleagues reaching out to me, telling me that they couldn't believe what the governor did. I went on with one of our affiliates this morning in Honolulu. He was so outraged over this. I spent a half hour on his talk show this morning talking about it. People were calling in outraged on my behalf. So it struck a nerve. And here's the funny thing, John. I get into the elevator yesterday after I'm done, and all the local media were like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying something. I'm like, well, where were you when I needed you? And, you know, and so I can tell that the local media here, they are walking a delicate line, because they have to keep working with these government officials long after we're out of here. But I can tell that they are very intimidated by it.
Yeah, and I have a lot of trouble with media like that, reporters like that, because your job is to get the truth out to your viewers and listeners. That's your job. Your job is not to worry about your relationship with the governor. If the governor doesn't want to talk about something because this is a huge embarrassment on his administration and the local administrations, well, that's just the way it is. That's the truth. And I know you're like this. We're just interested in getting the truth out. And the people listening to us or watching TV news, they just want to know the truth. And there's a lot of stories that are going to be told about this situation. And they're not going to be flattering to the government. It's already unflattering.
Now, did you consider that me being professional?
Yeah, you were very reasonable in asking that. And for him to turn it into you're tromping on the bodies and you want to observe the dust. And it's an ugly request. I mean, all that was way over the top.
So when we come back, he did a live shot with a local TV station this morning and addressed it. And I'll play that for you.
Ooh, cool. All right. Coming up, John and Ken Show, KFI.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 4 o'clock, the iHeart app, John and Ken on demand. That's the podcast. And we continue with Steve Gregory in Maui covering the horrific fire in Lahaina. And in the last segment, Steve told us how the governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, snapped at him because Steve wanted to know why the media wasn't getting more access to tell the story of what's gone on there. And the governor said that you're going to be tromping on the dead bodies, looking at people who've turned to dust, and that the whole request was ugly. And a lot of reporters, at least afterwards, really took offense at the way Steve was treated. Now, you got part two here.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of over. I was getting text messages from colleagues that listened to the press conference, because, I mean, that press conference went around the world yesterday. So, you know, I'm just getting some notes of support and things like that, people, you know, chuckling. But this morning I got a clip from an interview that the governor was doing on live television locally here, and he brought up the exchange yesterday.
We trust our local people. Can I be honest with you? You know, some people ask me questions, like in the press conference yesterday, they were like mainland folks raging, mad, yelling, why can't I get in, and so on. And when I said, you're going to be stepping on the ashes of our loved ones, they scowled at me and swore under their breath. And those people can go shove it. And they need to know that we're here for our people and our deceased. I know that our local people don't have any inclination like that to abuse the rules or to not go in when the time is right. But we're really dealing with a complicated situation because the whole world is watching. Mm-hmm. So for the whole world that's watching, donate resources, cash donations to Hawaii Community Foundation for the recovery.
So
he's a liar.
Shove it.
Shove it?
Yeah.
You weren't yelling and screaming.
Shove it. Nope. And we have a video of me actually having that exchange with him.
That's crazy. Mm. That is really one of the craziest things I've heard.
Can you believe that?
Coming out of a governor. All he had to do is answer the question.
I mean, he's really, really, really mischaracterizing that whole event. And it's sad because any reporter that was in that room yesterday with me knows. To my immediate left was NPR. To my left after that was NBC National. To my right was a local and two local people to my right. So if I had done anything out of line or anything unprofessional, all of them, I'm sure, would have reacted or said something. But I defy the governor to get evidence of any of those accusations.
That was just an outright lie. He's trying to intimidate the rest of the media. I mean, you talked about, you sensed that the local reporters were intimidated by the governor, and I can see now why. Because he'll say anything to shut down.
And the police chief. Oh, the police chief, John, he's former Las Vegas Metro PD, and he laid down the law yesterday. I mean, he's the one. He takes great pride in arresting and detaining reporters. And he, yesterday, was just bullying us and chastising us for wanting to do our job, telling us, you know, we decide when you get to know, we decide what you get to know, we'll tell you. And I mean, just those kinds of lectures, like we're all children. And it was really just unnerving on how they got up there and just laid this all out.
Did Hawaii not agree to the First Amendment when they applied for statehood? Did freedom of the press not make it there?
I should have known. My first red flag was when his press secretary came in and said, oh, welcome, everybody. For those of you that were here Saturday, great to see you. For those of you that haven't been here before, welcome. Aloha. And just want to tell you about the Aloha spirit. We welcome your questions. But just so you know, we want to limit one question per outlet. And please be respectful. And we will give you your answer. And you may not like your answer, but we're going to have to move on.
Uh-huh.
That was her prep. So you may not like the answer, but please respect the boundaries and the process, and we'll need to move on.
Once the king speaks, the king speaks, and it's
right. So that's the NBC guy, Tom Yamas, and I are looking at each other like, what? And he barely got his question in, and it was about why they didn't turn off the power. And you should have seen the response from that CEO from Hawaiian Electric. She got up there and sort of stammered and stammered about that, and then she just read from a prepared statement. And that was her response to the question, why didn't you turn off the power?
I heard her response during the newscast, and it didn't make any sense.
And she basically said that what we do in California is controversial and not accepted by everybody.
Well,
the power shut off.
You might have had 99 fewer deaths, and they should have backup generators to deal with people or deal with facilities like a hospital that can't afford to have the power shut down. But that's what backup generators are for. It's almost like the entire region was working out of a playbook from 100 years ago.
Well, it's been very clear, made very clear, not only yesterday in his comments about, well, for those of you from the outside or outsiders, he kept throwing that in there.
Yeah, the
mainland. And then today was mainland. But it's very clear we're not welcome here. It's very clear they don't want any accountability. It's very clear. Now, it was made... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, your question, though, the original question that started this controversy was that you got a sense from the locals, the Hawaiians, that they didn't trust what they were hearing from the government.
Right.
Well, that's a real thing. People don't trust the government.
And they weren't getting anything. I mean, not only were they felt like they didn't get the right answers, they were getting any answers. And that was just as important to them.
Well, I thought he was completely out of line and practically slanderous to you.
Yeah.
I mean, mischaracterized is a very polite term. That was just complete BS.
Yeah, can you imagine me? I can't wait to run in there and start trampling over dead bodies in the ash of dead people.
That's me. That was really rude and bullying. He's trying to shut you down for good because he thinks you're from Los Angeles and you're working for iHeart and you're here to cause him a lot of trouble and embarrassment.
Well, it's about to happen. And I only say that because everyone else is calling me. It's the question heard around the world now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a lot of screw ups there. You went through it all yesterday. The electricity not being shut off. There wasn't much in the way of water pressure. Roads were blocked off. People trapped in their cars and died. The sirens didn't go off. The phone message alerts didn't work because the cell phone system was down. I mean, they just did. They were completely unprepared for this.
Yep.
All right, Steve. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. Bye.
You're going to deport him. Wow. That's a weird kind of arrogance. It's like, oh, you're from the mainland. I guess, you know, when you sit out in the ocean, you do feel like you're your own private country. And he's the dictator. By the way, the governor's name is Josh Green.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Ken is off today. We're on the radio 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app. John and Ken on Demand, that's the name of the podcast. You're just joining us. There was a lot of good stuff today. We just had Steve Gregory on his exchange with the governor of Hawaii. The governor really took exception to one of Steve's questions, which I thought was rather benign. He was just asking about the lack of access reporters had, and the governor got quite upset and then went on television this morning and completely mischaracterized, I mean, just outright lied about the nature of Steve's question and behavior. So you'll want to hear that story. I have two dog stories here, A and B. They're both disturbing. So you get to choose which one you want first.
B?
Yeah.
I would choose A.
I was going to say
that. Then why did you
choice.
Ask me? Okay, A.
A?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're going to do both anyway. But
that makes no sense for me to pick one. Then.
It looks like Skid Row in Los Angeles. The vagrants have pit bulls being kept in cages, chained up, and the vagrants are breeding the pit bulls to sell puppies.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know about this?
I've mentioned it a few times in my news, but I guess you haven't heard it.
Oh, you know, I got to listen to your news one day.
You really need to.
Yeah.
I think I've done it twice now on your show, but
twice?
That's okay. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But that's okay. But yes, I feel very bad for these dogs.
They're trying to get the mayor and animal services to talk with the animal rescue mission and Stand Up for Pets. That's another organization. Although they spell it Stand Up for Pits twice. So they sell the puppies for as high as $300 each.
And what do they do with that money?
Well, what do you think?
They buy a stolen handbag that from the Smash and Grabbers.
No, that's, right. That's more money. But
It says we one woman see a NAF from Drive-By Do-Gooders has spent the last 10 years delivering supplies to the vagrants and the animals. And NAF said, we don't want to alienate the people, but existing laws are not being enforced by animal services. Or she's afraid of alienating the vagrants who are breeding the pit bulls. Plus, it's really hot out there on the sidewalk.
Well, yeah, I always feel so bad for those animals that are out there. Even the people that are begging for money on the corners, off the freeway. And then you see these poor animals just sitting there with their tongues hanging out.
Well, they should swoop in there and just shut down the whole process. That's all. I mean, this is inhumane for the animals.
Exactly.
If it's, it's 100 degrees and you're forcibly breeding these animals in cages, oh, I'm sure the male dogs don't mind.
I'm sure they do. They're too hot.
I think
even they can't get it on in this heat.
I'm too tired. Enough, right?
I'm rolling over.
It's the fifth. Now, the other one is worse. You sure you want to hear this?
Do I have a choice?
No.
Okay.
A couple in Australia charged with 5 counts of bestiality. It's a man and a woman, and they videotaped all their encounters with 2 dogs.
Have you watched?
No, I haven't watched.
Oh, okay.
But they were arrested. And they're being held at some kind of a facility. it says here a watch house facility. And it says they might be committed later this year. I guess that's just a phrase they use in Australia to put people in jail. Or are they going to put them in like some kind of mental institution, which is what they ought to do? Oh, you can get 7 years in Australia for this. I mean, here in the U.S., it's not considered that big a deal.
Right, because the animals, who cares if
right.
you're abusing them and making them have sex with you? I mean, they don't have a choice.
How much of this stuff goes on?
Probably more than we think.
More than we want to comprehend.
More than we want to know also.
What's wrong? What's wrong? How do you end up that way?
I don't know.
I mean, we all go through puberty, right?
Yes.
And there's like a certain moment where you know what you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Right.
You remember the first time you were like attracted to it?
I don't remember.
A boy?
No. No, I don't remember.
Oh, I remember.
Were you 4?
No, I was
12.
12, yeah.
Okay.
No, I saw a girl in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I was playing ball.
Yeah.
And I just stopped and I stared at her. And it's like at that point, my life was over.
My life was over.
Up to then, I was just playing ball on the street, and I saw this girl walk by, and it's like, oh, crap.
I like girls.
That's the dividing line, though.
maybe it's people who get turned down by other people, right? They want to have sex, and nobody's interested in having sex with them. So you get a dog who, what's the dog going to do?
So you switch species.
Right.
Right. There's no market for you.
Right.
Right.
But, and you don't want to hear somebody say no. You don't want that disappointment and that rejection. And a dog's not going to say no.
That's got to be a lot of no's you've heard. that is a bad, that's a long dry streak, Ben.
I'm just trying to figure out why.
So you don't think it's a natural desire for the dog. It's just a long period of loneliness.
Well, I think it's both.
Uh-huh.
I think there are some people that, yes, okay. they desire that. And I just, my brain doesn't work that way.
You
so
do
I can't,
seem to have a lot of thoughts
I can't
about
figure it.
It
out. No, because I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to reason with, there is no reasoning here.
No reasoning. All right, more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, we've been covering this story for the last week or so. It's the judge who blew away his wife down in Orange County. Superior Court Judge Jeffrey Ferguson finally pleaded not guilty today to murder charges. You've seen this guy, right? You've seen his mugshot? Pink face, white hair, 72 years old. Got into an argument with his wife, and he's hired this attorney that we're very familiar with, John Barnett. This is the type. He has two attorneys, John Barnett and Paul Meyer. These are the guys you get when you're really guilty, because what you need are attorneys who will shout very loudly the opposite. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't remember how this happened, Ferguson and his wife got into an argument coming back from dinner. His wife's name's Cheryl. All right. So he got to an argument over dinner at a restaurant, and he threatened her by making a hand gesture, pointing a gun at her. They got home. They're still fighting. And Cheryl says, "Why don't you point a real gun at me?" Now, the judge just happened to have in his ankle holster a .40 caliber Glock handgun. So after she challenged him, he pulled the handgun out and shot her right in the chest. And he's admitted to it. He reached out to his law clerk and his bailiff, texted them. And he wrote, "I just lost it. I just shot my wife. I won't be in tomorrow. I will be in custody. I'm so sorry." So there's no question he did it. But now his attorney, John Barnett, is just shouting really loudly, "No, no, it's an accident. It's an accident." When they hear the facts, they'll agree this was an unintentional discharge of a firearm. No intent to kill, no malice. Then they said, "Well, how are you going to at least not get a manslaughter charge? Because when you wave a loaded gun at somebody, even if you didn't mean to shoot it, if you press the trigger," and by the way, guns almost never go off, okay? You've pressed the trigger. Barnett insisted, "Well, he's innocent of manslaughter too." And so she pisses him off. He just happens to have an ankle holster. He walks around all day with this thing. He has a loaded gun in there. He reaches down into the holster, pulls out the loaded gun, and points it at her, and fires at her. And then the attorney says it's an accident. That was a lot of steps to that accident, because you had to decide to put on the holster. You had to decide to load the gun, and then load the holster, and then pull it out, and then aim it, and then fire it. I don't see the accident in that, but what do I know? Conway, and as a bonus...
I'd be a good juror. Thank you. Thank you for terming it then. I'd be a good juror on that.
You would?
Yeah. Like, accidents happen.
Wow. Well, the old question, what was the last thing she said, right?
Look.
That's what you always say.
Before I got married.
Yeah.
And to this day, if a guy kills his wife, I think he should go to hell and go to the death on death row.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been married, I just want to know what she said. What was the last thing she said?
Before you send him to hell.
That's right. They're right. Going to hell.
Right.
The men who kill their wives or hurt their wives are going to hell and death row in my state. But what set them off?
Do you get any flack when you go home?
For that, I will.
Yeah.
He hasn't been home in months.
Yeah. For that, I will.
Does she even know who you are?
You know, John, she's got this. Coming home every night at 7:15. Can you imagine that?
No.
Of course, the lovely one here, Mark Thompson's with us.
Yeah.
The lovely one is...
Yeah, he calls me the lovely one from time to time.
That's a compliment.
Your relationship has really deepened.
We've always been pretty tight, though.
It's taken off.
Yeah.
Steve,
what are we doing today?
Steve Gregory's coming on.
Aside from slathering each other with praise, what are we doing?
Steve Gregory's coming on. He got into it with the governor of Hawaii.
Yes.
Wow.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. And then Dr. Ray Kasheri's coming on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think he said you should get a booster a week.
You got two. You got the RSV, right?
Yeah.
And then you got the new variant.
That's right. And then we have Tommy Godlove is coming on.
Oh, that's great. Yes. Good. Yeah. About the benefit this week. I'm going to that.
Yeah. I think it's the Brody Stevens walk, right?
Right. Brody Stevens walk and the softball game. And there's a comedy store thing. I'm trying to go into all of it. I'm going to try to run the table with it.
And it's in the valley. Mm-hmm. And the weather for it should be about 72 and partly cloudy.
It'll be hot, but yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Conway's coming up. Mark Thompson.
Ding dong
with
you.
Yeah. It's a ding dong.
And it's a ding dong.
Where's Kenny?
I don't know. He's out somewhere. Right. Crozier is the news, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.